is food for thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's food for thought.
Welcome back. Food for thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, and it is Healthy Monday. We just got our dose of Rocco, our healthy dose of Rocco.
Our little hit of reality.
Our little hit of reality, yeah. And to be exercising when you're on vacation.
Yeah, which is a good idea, and it turns out that you were. Maybe it wasn't as systematically as when you're, you know, in town here, but you still got your workouts in.
I did. Right. And you know, and he's right. You do feel better when you do that and you incorporate that into your, you know, into your schedule. So.
But I also heard rumors that you had lobster this weekend.
We did. We had a mood and we were in the mood for it. And we went and got a couple lobsters and some king crab legs. And you should see Daryl eating lobster. Daryl is like, you know, a lobster eater. I mean, I like the tail the best. That's my favorite. You know, I mean, when I eat lobster, it's the tail and the claws. That's it. Well, he like
sucks the leg meat out.
Oh, I do
and then
too.
He's like, and he, you know what he even sucks on? Oh my gosh.
Well,
the
tail, you know, this is a family show, Carol.
The tail, you know, the tail, those little things on the tail,
the fins.
Is there meat in there?
There is.
Seriously?
I mean, Mike, it's so minuscule.
Yeah, it is minuscule, but it is sweet too.
He wants every bit of that crustacean, doesn't he?
And
that,
then he
that
even,
underwater bug.
He opens up
green?
The body.
Does he eat
of course
the green?
He eats the green.
Oh yeah, me too.
What do they call it? They call that the tamale, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a collection point of all the, well, I don't know if it's their discharge, June. Come on. I taught you better than that, didn't I? But I think it's a filtering system, isn't it, for the, you know, the stuff in the system that it has to go?
I think he said it was liver, too. It was kind of like you know, I actually tasted it.
It's sweet.
He had me taste it. And it was really good.
It's a delicacy for some people.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
But he even takes apart the body.
Yeah,
there's like meat all in there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like,
sure.
Ah.
But the sucking on the leg thing is, I mean, I know there's meat in there.
Ridiculous.
But it makes my eyes cross. You have to suck so hard to get it out of there.
You know, there's an easy way to get the meat out of the leg, though. You take lay them on the table, take a rolling pin, and you'd be amazed at how much
Seriously?
Meat comes out of the legs.
I love that.
Yep. Give it a try next time.
Thank you, June.
Too much work.
Not for Daryl, it's not.
No, man.
You're going to have him rolling the lobster's eyes next time to see what he can get out of those.
No kidding, right?
The tentacles.
I think that's the only part he didn't dissect.
Yeah.
Don't give
him any ideas, Carol.
Hope he's not listening.
You always say that, but you know he is.
Only when he can, because, you know, he travels a lot for work.
He has a real job, unlike us.
He does have a real job. Oh, he has a hard job, too.
Yeah, he does.
Works in granite. Oh, my gosh.
He's always getting hurt.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Poor little thing.
Anybody to take care of him?
Of course. Me. Yes.
So, June, what's your cooking? Because you brought us some food here, and I don't want to sit and stare at it. I want to try it.
I know. I'd like to try it, too, because it really looks good.
It does, yeah.
Well, it's called Jamaican Jerk Marinade. And what I did is I took chicken thighs. And I made the marinade, let it sit overnight. Mm. And this marinade is so good. You can leave it in your fridge up to a month. It'll stay good. And they said you can use it on chicken, beef, fish, anything. So I thought we made it last night. As soon as it came off the grill, I said, put one piece on a plate. I got to bring it to Carol and Mike tomorrow. Well, they're not.
This is thigh meat?
That's a thigh, yeah.
Because it's so light looking.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
That's very good.
And the mixed in with the grilling marks, I mean, gives that real grilled taste. It's a nice mix.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
Now, so you made the marinade.
I did.
So what is the marinade? What is the recipe?
The marinade is one medium onion, finely chopped, half a cup of scallions chopped, 3 tablespoons of soy sauce, 1 hot pepper, 1 tablespoon of oil, 1 tablespoon of cider or white vinegar, 2 teaspoons of fresh thyme leaves, 2 teaspoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, a teaspoon of allspice, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, and 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. And what you do is
really?
You just throw it in your blender and until it's all broken up really nice and
cinnamon and nutmeg.
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder where the kind of sweet was coming from.
Right. Yeah. And I tried it at a friend's graduation party last week, and I just fell in love with it. So I figured this week, and when we had the kids and Carol and Daryl stopped over to see our new grandbaby, and then my cousin came down from Vermont, so it was a big party there yesterday. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So did you get it? I mean, because I know it is it's an island recipe, essentially, right? It's a Jamaican jerk?
Yes.
So where did you get it? I mean, I know there's a million recipies out there.
There
She's
is.
She's laughing. I'm getting
nervous.
Did
you go to Jamaica to personally research
did,
this, Joe?
I wish.
Good girl.
I wish. No, I got it from a friend. He just sent me the recipe, so I'm not sure where it came from. So
can that be scary or something?
Oh, it's good.
It is really
good.
No,
I don't know what place you got it off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
You were
giggling, so I was nervous.
No, it was Mike making me laugh.
I've never been to Jamaica, but I understand there's a lot of roadside Jamaican jerk you know, places that you can have. You got to kind of wonder what kind of health code controls
especially
involved
in Jamaica.
But I'm pretty confident that June observes all the proper kitchen cleanliness.
I do. Yeah. I do. The one thing, I want to try it on shrimp. I think it would be really good.
Absolutely.
On shrimp. Yeah. So I have some left, and I'm going to play with it this week and see what I can do.
Good.
Yep. So it was good. We had that and chicken sausages with peppers and onions and linguine salad and a nice big green salad. It was good.
Those chicken sausages are good.
I love them.
So, I mean, you don't make them, right? You just get them in the store. It's a lot easier.
Delucci.
Wicked good.
Yep.
Those are delicious. Market Basket, it's a brand.
Oh, okay.
And they're fantastic.
Very, very good.
And they even have
the chicken burgers.
Yep, and they're different flavors.
Different
too.
Flavors of chicken burgers, and they're really, really,
really?
Good.
So,
yes.
So it's ground.
Yep.
Ground chicken with all the spices and everything.
Yep. And it's where you buy your meat, you know, your hamburger and stuff.
So
and it'll be kind of like at the top, and it's Delucci.
Extremely lean, I would guess. Yep. So you're not going to get the big flare-ups that like you typically do with 80%, you know, hamburger.
The only thing I found, though, their sodium is very high.
Oh.
Yeah. And sodium isn't that good for you. So,
which is a shame because they spice it so well with, I mean, like what you made here doesn't need any sodium. I mean,
it has a teaspoon, but that makes quite a bit,
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why? I mean, a can of soup.
To preserve
it? I know.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's true.
800 milligrams of sodium.
It's ridiculous.
Right. It's way too much.
Yeah.
That's why you make your own. It's
That's
better
right.
for you.
By the way, the soup today at Midtown Cafe, it's a chicken
noodle.
It looks like it's a shell pastas. Really good. Pepper
you
flakes.
You like it because it has a little zip to
it. I do. I didn't expect that, but it was a nice touch. So props to the ladies in the kitchen upstairs.
Good old Brittany.
Mm-hmm. So this is really good, June.
Thank you. And I keep saying I'm going to bring something in for you, but I never do. But I said, no, it came right off the grill. I said, Dennis, quick, put one piece in the fridge.
You were thinking about it.
I was.
And are you going to remember when you do the shrimp, which is, you know, $6 a pound more than the chicken thighs?
Yes. I might just tell you how it came out.
Oh, no.
Well, and let's talk about, you have your nephew here in the studio with us. And
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, well, I don't think he wants to talk, but he's here because he's interested in media.
He is, He's my sister and her husband and their son Christopher are here visiting from Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is near Ann Arbor, which is, of course, the home of the University of Michigan. So they're here visiting for a couple of days. We're doing a whale watch tomorrow.
Fun.
Right.
I hope it's better weather.
Do you feel like talking at all, Christopher? No, he says no. Well, the reason I was going to ask him is because he is a huge car fanatic and truly an expert, you know, for somebody his age. So we went to a Corvette show yesterday in Brookline at the Lars Anderson Museum, which is just this beautiful spread in a state that was given over to the town of Brookline then to do as they wish with it. And there was probably 100 Corvettes back all the way to 1953, I think was the first year, right? All the way up to the current model, which is a 2015. And it was fun. So that was kind of the bargaining chip we had to use so that he would go on this whale watch tomorrow, which I don't think he was all jazzed about doing. But Have either of you ever gone on a whale watch?
I have not.
I have.
It is dramatic.
It's awesome.
When the whales start, you know, coming up, you're the, on this side. And then, of course, the boat tips. Everybody runs to look at the...
Where are you going for that?
Out of Gloucester.
Really?
Yeah, out of Gloucester. That's like the most fertile area. They have like almost 100%
I was just going to say, are you sure you're going to see one?
Yeah. I did this about 30 years ago, and it was very cool.
When we went deep sea fishing, we did see whale.
Yeah.
But I went in Hawaii, and oh my God, it was so beautiful. The whales, we were on this boat, and he just came down and right under our boat.
Oh, he did.
Came right up on the other side, and you're thinking, oh my God, he could tip us over.
Yeah.
And then they were waving and dancing, and the people said that was running, you know, the show that day, said they'd been out there all day and none of them had performed like they did for us.
Is that right?
It was amazing.
Is tipping suggested for performing mammals?
You never know.
I don't know. I mean, what's the protocol?
Put a good fish in your pocket.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Well, I understand what you're saying about the boat tipping over, which this is a big, big boat, so that's not going to happen. However, in a couple weeks, when I won't be here doing the show, we're going to go sailing. We're actually going to sail on a 36-foot sailboat.
Oh, nice.
And I think part of our plan this year is to kind of sail through the whale area. I can definitely see.
Ooh, I don't know.
I'm not too worried about it, but I mean, that possibility does exist, I suppose.
Right.
So, but I'm kind of looking forward to that because you're going to be right up close and personal. You can almost touch them, which you can on the big tourist boats.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Are you wearing a patch in case it's rough?
No, I found out that I am not motion sickness prone or any of that stuff.
Good.
So I did not get seasick last year. We sailed for 2 weeks in some pretty big waves, and I was fine.
Nice. You're lucky.
So anyway, that's why Christopher Brower is here observing today.
Very nice.
And making sure that I do everything I should properly.
Oh, gosh.
But he won't speak.
That's all right. See, he's smart. He knows that he's not going to get paid, so he's keeping his mouth shut.
Smart kid.
Exactly.
So, do you have anything else, June?
I don't. You know, I was running short today. I had a meeting I had to go to, but I tried to get this in from yesterday, and it was a big day for us yesterday. So, no, I have to say I don't have anything, but I will next week, I promise.
All right. Well, I think it's time for a break.
Okay.
You're listening to Food for Thought live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. You are listening to 107.7 The Pulse. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
It's Get Acquainted Week here on The Pulse. Welcome back to Food for Thought, WTPL 107.7. We're brought to you by Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill, 865 2nd Street in Manchester. Also, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com. That was really good Jamaican jerk chicken that brought in today. And the soup was good from Midtown Cafe. So I'm a happy boy right now. I'm going to take a nap, so you just two go ahead and carry on.
You might want to actually, given the topic...
The topic, what are we talking about?
What, the etiquette of proper sleeping?
No, but that sounds like a good
It
topic.
Does, doesn't it?
It does, actually. How many hours of sleep do you require?
Not many, quite honestly. I did morning radio for 30 years, and I could get by with about 5.5 hours on any given day, sometimes with a nap. Now I'm up to probably about 6.5, but with a lot less stress in my life, and it's working fine.
Well, you know what they say is as you get older in age, you need less. So.
What are you saying, Susan? Just come out and say it. You're an old fart. You don't need much sleep.
Not me. I need a solid 8 or I am no good.
Really?
Carol, what about you? I mean, you work a lot and you've got a lot going on. Are you able to hit the pillow and just go right to sleep?
Nope.
So the whirly-gig in your brain continues to go,
it
right?
It does. Okay. It does. I usually have a hard time sleeping.
Really?
But my new vitamins and supplements that I've been taking are definitely help.
Oh, good.
And I don't require a whole lot, like between 6 and 7 hours. Yeah.
I don't know if early riser.
And
you know, I don't think one size fits all as far as sleep goes. They try to tell you 7, 7.5, 8, 6, whatever. It's whatever works for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to listen to your body.
Listen to your body. But I know that a lack of sleep, a severe lack of sleep, does contribute to obesity, from what I understand. Is that what we're going to talk about today, Susan, or did we get off sidetracked already?
Yeah, what are we talking
about? I thought today would be a good day to talk about makeup.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I just had some derm work done last week, and I could definitely use some concealer. Do you have anything to for some of the spots where I had?
I can help you with that.
Can you help
that.
Me with that? Some
I
of my
sure
suntan?
Can.
Okay, cool. All right.
It's you get a little hyperpigmentation going on?
Just some areas that the dermatologist wasn't happy with, so I just zapped it and got rid of it. All
right.
From childhood right. sun damage for the most part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it usually happens when we're young.
Yeah.
You know,
it does.
When we're young and we didn't wear sunscreen back in the day. And so
mm-hmm.
it starts popping up at around 50.
I'll let you know when I get to 50.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
Actually, it can pop up earlier
yeah,
on
it
some
can.
People.
It's good to have an annual dermatological screening, I think. As probably after 50 is a good time, or if you see anything that does look a little suspicious.
Right.
Good idea to
right,
do that.
Right. But for vanity purposes, you know, I'm here to talk about makeup.
Okay.
And concealing, and so you have a nice clean glow on your skin every day. Yeah. So, Carol, you and I did makeup.
We did.
A couple months ago.
We did.
And?
I love putting on my makeup. I love it. You gave me some nice tips, and I use them every day, most every day. And, yeah, no, I love it. Love
great.
It.
Great. Well, I am a licensed esthetician. I have been for almost 15 years, and I actually owned a day spa here in Manchester for a little over 10 years.
Wow, which one?
I've done many facials and have seen many, many hyperpigmentation on women.
Yeah.
And so as I was putting my makeup on this morning, I was thinking about, what might interest, you know, women, especially as it's approaching, you know, summer's here, we want to wear less makeup, but how do we hide, you know, all of the things that we got going on in our face, right? That all those dark spots, that's what's mm-hmm. called hyperpigmentation. And you can actually have light spots, which is called hypopigmentation. And so, you know, like how do you cover those and still look fresh and youthful, right? Without tons of powder and stuff like that. So I thought I'd just go through the rundown of, you know, the proper way to apply makeup and add some tips for summertime. How's that sound?
I think it sounds fine.
How's that sound?
I'm taking notes.
Okay.
my Barbara and my sister are out there, so they're probably taking notes too.
Okay. All right. Great. The very first thing that most women will ask me is, how do I hide redness, dark circles, bags, all the stuff that's happening underneath their eyes, right? Because the whole idea is to even out the skin tone and
Carol, I didn't do a good
looking
job
at herself
this morning.
In the mirror right now.
Carol has a mirror on the back of her Apple iPhone
hey,
6
I need
Plus.
One of those. Oh, and it's like bedazzled around it too.
Yeah, pretty cool. Huh?
Yeah. So what got me even thinking about the topic was I did my eyeliner the old school way today, and I don't know why, because I usually tell people, you know, don't line the wet line of your eye with it, but for some reason, I was led to do it, and I did it, and I'm like, I don't know. What do you think, Carol?
I think it looks good.
Yeah.
Like it.
I don't know. Something different. So it's just a completely different way of applying makeup. But anyway, back to concealer. We'll get to eyeliner in a second. So usually concealer, after you properly wash your face twice a day, very important.
With what?
A facial cleanser, okay. not Ivory soap. Yeah, you're just shaking. He's shaking his head. What do you use?
Typically, I just exfoliate in the shower with a body wash.
Okay, all right. Usually, you know, the soaps cleansers that we're using on our body is a little bit too abrasive for the skin on our face. That's why they make and manufacture special facial cleansers, right? So most people want to use something gentle. Even if you have oily skin, most people with oily skin want to get carried away and like really over exfoliate, right? But you really don't want to do that. So anyway, you cleanse twice a day, you moisturize. If you have super oily skin, listen, you don't need to moisturize. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you've got really slick skin, you don't need to add moisturizer to it. And then you, you know, look at the concealer. Now, you want your concealer to be, there's a difference between a concealer that hides zits and ones that that help to conceal under the eyes, right? So the ones that go under the eyes usually are oil-based, and you want that color to be pretty much your skin color. You want it to be as close as possible. Sometimes like a slight shade lighter is okay, but you know, have you seen the raccoon eyes before? Yeah, Carol's sort of giving me that look like, oh yeah, Mike, do you know what we're talking about?
I certainly do.
All right, just checking in with you time to time here. So, you know, a concealer, you know, hides everything underneath the eyes. That's usually the first step if you have really a lot of redness or darkness under the eyes. So tip number one, you only want to put the concealer where you need it. Remember we talked about that,
Carol?
Yeah,
you did talk about that.
Because you don't, you know, as we're aging, right, any woman over 40, you know, we start to get those superficial wrinkles under the eyes. And so the more is not better there. Because the more makeup, especially concealer, where it's sort of thick and pasty, the more you apply there, I think the wrinkles stand out, right? So it's like less is more when it comes to that area of your face. And you're just applying it where you need it, not everywhere underneath, right? So just where there's redness or darkness, you're applying it very lightly. A little goes a long way with concealer. And you do that first. If you're somebody that you don't really have a lot, well, then you don't need the product. Or sometimes what I'll do is I'll have them put their foundation on first, because the foundation itself might just do the job and cover what needs to be covered underneath the eyes. And then if it doesn't, then you can add on concealer on top of the foundation. So it really doesn't make a huge difference whether you add the concealer first or after. I typically, for somebody that I see that needs it, I always add it first, and then you got to let it dry onto the skin. That's important. If you put it on and you don't give it a second to kind of absorb, then it, you know, and dry onto the skin, and then you put foundation over it, then you're just sort of, you know, swiping it all away. Make sense?
Makes sense. I don't use foundation.
That's right. You don't.
Yeah.
And that's great, because not everybody needs to wear foundation, actually.
I just feel beautiful skin. To me, it just, I feel like it's like stuck on my face. Like, you know,
it feels too heavy. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I do have some, like when I do go out, like I'm going to get dressed up, like we're going to go to the Heart Gala next week. I'll probably put some on just because, I don't know. Just feel like I almost have to. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you why you're thinking you might want to put some on. Basically, what foundation does is it provides a nice, even skin tone across the entire face. And so when someone's looking at you, especially like for people that have the dark circles or the redness under their eyes, any red spots at the face or hyperpigmentation, hypopigmentation, it draws the onlooker's eye to those areas. When you hide it with foundation and you're creating a nice even complexion, the onlooker's eyes now are just sort of falling right into your eyes. You know what I mean? So it just gives a nice polished look. But you have beautiful, so a couple things. A, you have beautiful skin. B, you don't really have a lot of different tones happening within your face. So you don't need it. You really don't from day to day. But for an evening look, when you're maybe going heavier on the eye makeup and the lipstick, you want the skin to be as polished.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Let's bring men into this a little bit. I mean, men typically don't wear foundation or concealer, but what can men do to draw the eye away from things that perhaps they don't want, or to de-accent, say, a certain facial feature that you would like to not have be so obvious?
That's a great, great question, actually. And I would say the biggest thing that men can do is take care of their skin. In my years of doing facials and working with, you know, men and women, that's the main. Men are typically washing their face with an abrasive soap.
Yeah, and a washcloth or something.
And so what that does is it can bring out telangiectasia, or, you know, redness in the skin, and you see lots of variation in their skin. Mm-hmm. Finding the right cleanser that's perfect for your skin type will go a long way in terms of having your skin look
clean. So using that in place of, say, when I'm in the shower using a shower gel, which doesn't seem to me to be that harsh, but I'm sure that it probably is.
Well, let me ask you this. Does your face feel like cracking off when you're...
Actually,
when
you're no.
Oh, good. It might be fine.
It's got a lot of moisturizing content to it, yeah. I think.
Good.
I think it's pretty good.
Great. Yeah, the most soaps are too alkaline for the skin on our face, and so it really can dry out the skin. And just like with a facial cleanser, if after you get out of the shower after washing your face, and you feel like you need to run to the moisturizer because your face is starting to dry out, that's a sign right there that's the wrong cleanser for you. So that's number one. Number two, yeah, for men would be moisturizing. Men just don't.
Yeah,
do
you're
it.
Right. We don't. Darryl, I don't.
Darryl is a huge. I mean, Darryl takes care of his face. He has a facial cleanser in the shower, and then he does eye cream.
Did he do that before he met you, or he was doing that already? And he does have great skin now that I think of it.
He does have very,
it, so
very nice skin.
Certainly,
but he takes care of it.
Right.
He takes care of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, guys, for the most part, Susan, you would agree, men take their skin for granted. It's like, well, you know.
It is what it is.
It's just a body part.
Yeah, exactly. Yet it's the thing that people are looking at. So, you know, maybe moisturizer isn't such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that I would say for any male sort of struggling with, bad skin or skin that is discoloring, that would be like the very first step. And then, of course, there's always, I mean, concealer isn't necessarily just for women. For men who have, marks on their face that just want to quickly cover it, they don't, you can just spot treat.
Can you do that without being discovered? Because
Yeah. The key is that the concealer needs to be the same color. It needs to be the same tone.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. When it's not the same color, that's when it's noticeable.
Makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, so what I wanted to talk about is primer, actually. So before you even get to the concealer and the foundation, for women and men, actually, too, men could use this because it's just sort of translucent liquid cream that goes onto the face before you put your foundation on. And it's usually, for people with great skin, I say don't bother. But for people with large pores, with any scarring, things like that, it's a great, it's a filler, actually. So
it's spackling.
Yeah, it is spackling.
A little Bondo on my face.
It kind of is. But that's a great product to sort of even out everything. The texture, it helps with texture. It's a primer.
Could a guy just put that on with nothing else?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It looks like cream.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, I don't have that.
Because you don't need it. I never mentioned it because you don't really... You don't need it.
I have a primer for my eyes.
Right. So we talked, an eyeshadow primer, which is great to act as a magnet for eyeshadow to keep it on so it doesn't crease. Particularly in the summertime, I think that's great. The other thing that I use for my eyes with the eyeshadow magnet is I put it on and then don't put any eyeshadow on. It sort of acts as a concealer for my eyelids because that's where I tend to get darkness and redness is on my eyelids. And so I use this eyeshadow primer because it does have a little bit of color to it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of conceals it up. And
that's what I did on Saturday. It was nice and easy. I just put a little bit of that on and it was just a little touch. And
So I just wanted to mention the primers. And the other thing as we're approaching summer is, summer's a great time to experiment with lipstick, right, with color. So lipstick and blush. So I'm curious, Carol, have you done any?
I am always buying new lipsticks.
Yeah.
I love lipstick.
Yeah. People tend to be brave with lipsticks, but usually what I see is with a client is, I'm just going to buy a blush, and that's going to be the blush that I use every single day for the next 12 years. And that is okay, but I encourage people, like summertime when you want to experiment with color, the blush is, go for the blush. Because usually in the summer, we want to go a little bit lighter with the eye makeup, And then that allows us to sort of go all out with either the lip color or the blush color. So typically when you're making up your face, it's like pick one accent. If it's the eyes and you want to do lots of color there, great. Your cheeks and lips will be neutral-ish. Or you can switch it out. Maybe your cheeks are a nice like coral, light coral blush color, right? Your eyes are neutral, and you know your lips are have a nice color on them too.
Or yeah, since having my little makeup session with you, I wear red a lot.
Yeah,
I love it, and it's something that I remember used to do
when I put it on you. She actually saw the lipstick color before I got it on her lips, and she's like, "Oh no."
Freaked me out.
But here's the thing. Carol has very dark hair. She has a very high contrast level, dark hair, you know, lighter skin, dark eyebrows, very, very dark eyes. Her lips are naturally pigmented. So I knew that intense red was just going to look dynamic on her, and it totally did.
I don't see any red today, though, Carol.
I didn't.
I got all excited by this description. I looked over. No red.
I know. Yeah. Well, she should have cued me that she was going to be talking about it because I would have made sure I put it on.
So you created a red monster. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so.
She did.
I guess so.
She did. Daryl likes it, too.
I red's a great color on women, I think. Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so remember, there's different shades of red, right? There's warm red and there's cool red. So I put a cool red, which is like a red with a bluish undertone on Carol. Anyone with a warm undertones would go with more of a orange red or a peachy color.
I like pinks, too. I like wearing pink.
Yeah, bright pink looks really good on you. Yeah. Have you tried coral?
No.
Yeah, a bright coral could work on you.
I'm going to go shopping and get some.
That's all she needed to hear.
She gave me permission.
Yeah.
I think we need to go on a break.
Yeah. Check your wallet, too, while you're at it.
I got my Macy's card.
Oh, somehow I knew that's where you went for your makeup.
I usually go to Ulta, actually.
I don't even know what that is. Oh,
it's
Ulta,
okay. Sephora. It's like makeup wonderland.
It is. It's cool.
When are we going to talk about sporting goods? Well, anyway, never mind. Go ahead.
Sporting goods.
too much estrogen in this conversation.
By the way, sunscreen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every day.
Isn't sunscreen in a lot of women's makeup right now?
It is.
To some degree?
It's not enough.
Nope, no.
Not especially if you know you're going to be like out in the sun. You need to put, you know, something over it. Yeah, for sure.
Good tip.
For men, that's like the biggest. But for men, listen, if you're out there listening, the biggest change you can make right now is just slap some sunscreen on your face right after the shower. It takes 2 seconds.
When are they going to make a sunscreen that doesn't irritate my eyes? And I don't mean when I sweat or drip. I mean even in the proximity of my eyes, I just feel that mild burning sensation.
Yes, interesting. That
irritates me, and I tend to, you know, unless you know Barbara says put this on, I generally will out on my own, and I know I should.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an ingredient. So you got to maybe process of elimination.
Oh,
you might need
to
try a few different, try to find like the purest.
I mean, if they have cold medication that says non-drowsy, why can't they create a sunscreen that says non-burning, you know, for sensitive eyes?
Right.
All right. Let me write that down.
I'm
going to patent that one right after the show. Can we take a break?
Yes. Okay. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we are in studio with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. You can check her out on the web at beimageconsulting.com, and that's beimageconsulting.com. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Got 1:49, 11 ahead of 2 o'clock. And Mike Morin of 50 Shades of Radio book fame. So there you go. There, now you know a little bit about us if you hadn't already. Our show is brought to you by Grasshopper's Garden Supply, where the customer comes first on New River Road in New Boston. And our official coffee of Food for Thought is New England Coffee, newenglandcoffee.com. We got a cute little Keurig in the other room, and we need to get some cups, though. I guess we're looking for, I don't think we had any cups out there.
You're kidding.
So they were just drinking right out of the spout. I hope that didn't bother you at all, Carol.
I can't guess that's
They're from Michigan. They haven't learned all their proper manners
yet. Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. I'll make sure that gets us
that's
stopped.
Not a problem. And you might add a little shelf for Kahlua, too, for those who would like that.
Oh,
Just saying.
Get some little nips.
Yeah. There you go.
Right?
I love that idea.
Yeah, we can
look at all the ideas we generate in 2 hours every day just by mistake.
I know. I know. And, you know, we should welcome on a brand new sponsor as well.
Oh.
Mama McDonough's. It's an Irish pub in Hillsboro.
Terrific.
Come find your Irish side. That's their little tagline. So,
super.
I guess they do not have a website, but they do have a Facebook, Mama McDonough's Irish Pub. So,
marvelous.
There we go. Let's welcome them on.
Let's welcome them on. Have them on the air sometime.
Definitely.
Which we love to do with our sponsors.
Definitely. Definitely.
Cool.
So, and we have Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting, and we've been talking about makeup and summer and what you can do to even your face out and play around a little bit, like you say.
Yes. So,
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I have a question for you. I know, right?
Do
you remember
nervous.
My number one most favorite makeup tool?
Yes.
What was it?
It was the item that I never used before.
No woman should not have this. This is like every woman should have this, regardless of how long or short your
eyelashes are.
Right.
Mascara.
No, mascara.
Oh, what?
The eyelash squeezer thing.
Yes!
Primper. Yes.
Eyelash curler.
Can I say
that's pretty good?
I am in touch with my softer side occasionally.
Wow. Mine's pink. Mine's pink and has crystals on it.
No, does it really?
I swear to God.
I need to see a picture of that.
I will.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning. Right. Well, you won't be here tomorrow. I'll have it for you Thursday.
Really? It's like it doesn't matter. You could buy a cheapie for like $2 or one for like $22.
No, I actually got it at Rite Aid.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like five or six bucks or something. Yeah.
Wow. The cheap ones work. Sometimes I think the cheap ones work the best. An eyelash curler, man.
And I like your tip about heating it up, you know, under hot water. I do that.
Yeah.
And
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. You don't even have to heat it up. Just curl your eyelashes. It goes a long way, especially on those days where you don't want to wear mascara, don't have time for mascara. You just do, well, so here's the thing. Some people will just crimp it down, you know, for like, and count, you know.
Yeah, for guys,
one,
it looks,
two,
a little,
three,
looks like
go.
A vice grip.
And that's not enough.
And it's not enough. No, you got to crimp it down and count to 15.
And count slow.
Oh,
yeah, you get a.
I think
you know,
of her every time
it.
I'm counting.
Yeah, you and a lot of other clients.
Lovely.
So yeah, you get to hold it, and then after you do that, you can apply your mascara or not. A lot of times, I bring this thing like when I'm camping, just because it's like the one that I don't wear makeup when I'm camping and stuff. So it's like the one thing that I feel I can do to kind of like open my eyes a little bit, and I don't know.
Glam it up in the woods.
Let's
be honest. Let's call it what it is.
So that's the thing I would take with me if I was deserted on an island, I guess.
Your eyelash.
Most people would bring a book or an iPad. She's bringing an eyelash.
Of course, I wouldn't have
curler.
A mirror, right, to see how great it looks. So.
Well, yeah. You
but
just
you've
get
got
one
the water.
Oh, that's right. I have my phone mirror.
Just going to get one of these.
God.
Okay. So you clamp on the eyelash curler. Hold it for 15, then you put your mascara on. Carol and I talked about heating the eyelash curler up a little bit, either running it under hot water, right? Or very gently and very, very carefully, you can warm it up with the blow dryer, right? Don't put the blow dryer right on it. It will heat up that metal and you will burn your eyelashes off, and you don't want to do that. The idea is just to heat it up a little bit, and the heat helps to curl the lashes. So there's that. The other little trick that I do is after my mascara has completely dried, and I mean completely dried, I might go over with the eyelash curler just like one more time. And then I'm not holding it for 15 seconds.
Quick.
I mean,
count.
Like one, two, and it's done. Yeah. If you hold it on there too long with mascara on, you're going to. That thing's going to be stuck like glue. to your eyelashes, and it's not a pretty sight.
Well, how much, if I can ask you, Susan, how much time is involved with your daily routine to do all the things that you've been talking about here?
Probably less than 10 minutes, probably 5 minutes.
You do all that in 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah. It's not like, it sounds like a lot. It does. But it's really not.
Spent a half hour talking. How could you boil it down to 10 minutes?
Because we're talking about it, explaining about it.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't.
It's a beauty about being a guy, I'm telling you.
No, it is not time. That music comes on. All right, so the other thing I wanted to mention was
30 seconds.
Bronzer versus glow powder.
No bronze.
Yeah, because it gives you that weird orange, you know, but the glow powder is good. It just adds like a little bit of a finish to your skin, you know, a little bit of glow, a little bit of sheen to your skin. Nice youthful look for summer.
There you go. Nice tips.
All right.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. Up next is Kale and Company. I'm sure they're going to be talking about that Calder Cup. Yep. So exciting.
Bye.